Praise the Lord. We have come to lesson number 21 of our study of the Synoptic Gospels, which are the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In the previous lessons, we have been going through the Gospel of Matthew. And in the last lesson, we understood that Jesus as a king started getting rejected by his people. And as a result, he turned to the Gentiles to preach the gospel. In this lesson, which is lesson number 21, Jesus speaks seven parables. And through these parables, Jesus is explaining the mysteries of the kingdom that he has come to establish in the hearts and the minds of the people. So we begin our lesson with Matthew chapter 13. And for today's lesson, we will go through up to verse number 52. So Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to verses 52. And we will look into the parables that Jesus spoke concerning the kingdom that he has come to establish. Matthew chapter 13 and verses 1. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. At the end of chapter number 12, the heavenly king, who had been fully rejected by the leaders of the Jewish religion, is making a break from them. And on that day, he goes out of the house and sits beside the sea. Now, this is very significant. Because the house signifies the house of Israel, and the sea on a spiritual sense signifies the Gentile world. If you turn to Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 3, it speaks about four great beasts coming out from the sea, each differing from the other. And also, when we turn to Revelation chapter 17 and verses 15, it speaks about the waters where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations and tongues. So, the waters or the seas are representing the Gentiles of the world. So, the king is going out of the house to sit beside the sea, and it signifies about him breaking from the Jews. He is forsaking the house of Israel and turning to the Gentiles. And it was after this, while he was at the seashore, that he is giving the parables concerning the mysteries of the kingdom. So, the mysteries of the kingdom are being revealed to the church. And so we should take a note that all the parables that are spoken in this chapter are spoken to his disciples, and they are not spoken to the Jews. Verse number 2. And great crowds were gathered to him, so he stepped into a boat and sat, and all the crowd stood on the shore. So the boat which is in the sea and which is not of the sea signifies the church, which is in the world but not of the world. So it was in that boat that is in the church that the king of the heavenly kingdom, after forsaking the Jews and turning to the Gentiles, revealed the mysteries of the kingdom. Verse number 3. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went to sow. The sower went out to sow. So, in contrast to what he said in the next six parables, which we will read in verses 24, 31, 33, 44, and 47, at the beginning of this parable, the first of the seven parables concerning the mysteries of the kingdom, the Lord does not say like this, the kingdom of heaven is or has become like this. Because the kingdom of the heaven began with the second parable. So in the first parable, the Lord went out only to sow the seed for the kingdom. And at that time, the seed has not grown to be the crop for the formation of the kingdom. So as the Lord said in his preaching at that time, the kingdom had not yet come, but it had only drawn near. And we have read that in Matthew chapter 4 and verses 17. So it says in verse number 3, behold, the sower went out to sow. Who is the sower? The sower is the Lord himself. And this is expounded in verse number 37 of the same chapter. And it says that, verse number 4, as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the way, and the birds came and devoured them. What are the seeds? The seeds are the word of the kingdom, as the Lord being in the word of life. And it says that some of the seeds fell beside the way. Now, beside the way refers to a place close by the way. It is hardened by the traffic of the way, and thus it is difficult for the seeds to penetrate the soil. So the wayside signifies the heart that is hardened by the worldly traffic and is not open to understand or to comprehend the word of the kingdom. So as a seed falls by the wayside, it says that the birds came and devoured them. What are the birds? The birds signify the evil one, Satan, who is coming and snatching away the word of the kingdom that is sown in the hardened heart. Verse number 5. And others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much earth, and immediately they sprang up, but they had no depth of the earth. Here the rocky places that do not have much earth, they show the heart that is shallow in receiving the word of the kingdom. Deep within such a heart are rocks, hidden sins, personal desires, self-seeking and self-pity that are hindering the seed from taking root into the depths of the heart. Verse number 6. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered. The sun with its scorching heat, it speaks about affliction or persecution that comes in the life of the person. So the scorching heat of the sun actually causes a seed that is not rooted to wither. The heat of the sun is for growth and ripening of the crop, which takes place once the seed has deeply rooted. But because of the seed's lack of root, the sun's heat, which should actually be causing growth and ripening, becomes a cause of withering and causing the seed to die here. So there is a great sense for us to understand that where the seed does not go deep into the soil, when there is affliction or persecution, the word of God vanishes away from the heart. Next we see in verse number 7, and others fell on the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them. The thorns, they signify the anxiety of the age and the deceitfulness of riches, which utterly choke the word and prevent it from growing further in the heart and causing it to become totally unfruitful. And verse number 8 says, but others fell on good earth and yield fruit, 100-fold and 160-fold and 130-fold. The good earth signifies a good heart that is not hardened by the worldly traffic, that is without hidden sins, that is without the anxiety of the age and the deceitfulness of riches. So such a heart gives every inch of his ground to receive the word, so that the word will grow, it will bear fruit and produce even a 100-fold amount for the glory of God. He who has an ear, let him hear. This word indicates that the opposing and the rejecting Jews did not have ears to hear. So they could not hear the word that the Lord spoke at that time. Verse number 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak in parables to them?" And he answered and said to them, "Because to you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, but to them it has not been given." Now the king of the heavenly kingdom uses parables to reveal the things of the kingdom, in order to make them mysteries to the opposing and the rejecting Jews, so that they would not understand them. So from the time the king came to sow the seed until he comes back to reap the harvest, everything concerning the kingdom is a mystery to the natural mind. Only the enlightened mind, having with a submissive heart, can understand these mysteries. Verse number 12. For whoever has, it shall be given to him, and he will abound. But whoever does not have, even that which he has shall be taken away from him. This signifies, this is the receiver and the follower of the heavenly kingdom. To such one, the revelation concerning the kingdom is given in abundance. And that is the one it says about whom who has, and it shall be given. It also speaks about those who does not have, even it shall be taken away from him. And this is the opposing and the rejecting Jews, from whom what the heavenly kingdom has spoken, has done, will be taken away. And this is the real condition of the Jews today. They have no knowledge concerning the kingdom of the heavens, and it is altogether a mystery that is known to them. Verse number 13. For this reason I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. But to them the prophecy of Isaiah being fulfilled, which says, "In hearing you shall hear, and by no means understand, and seeing you shall see, and by no means perceive. For the heart of this people has become fat, and with their ears they have heard heavily, and their eyes they have closed, lest they perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and they turn around, and I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to perceive the things that you see and have not perceived them, and to hear the things that you hear and have not heard them." So Jesus speaks about many prophets and righteous men who have desired to perceive, to understand the things that you have seen and do not see or hear them. This is speaking about the righteous people who saw it from a distance by faith, and they never could see in actuality. When we go to Revelation chapter 11, we see the role of the people of faith. And in verse number 13, it speaks about those righteous people who saw everything by faith. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." So these righteous people, they did four things. They saw them from a distance, they were assured of them, they embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What a blessing is for us to see the mysteries of the heavenly kingdom. Verse number 18. You therefore hear the parable of the one who sowed. When one hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand, the evil one comes and snatches away which has sown in the heart. This is the one sown beside the way. And the one sown on the rocky places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he does not have root in himself, but lasts only for a time. And when affliction or persecution occurs because of the word, immediately he is stumbled. And the one sown in the thorns is the one who hears the word, and the anxiety of the age and the deceitfulness of riches utterly choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But the one that is sown on the good earth is he who hears the word and understands, which by all means bears fruit and produces 100-fold and 160-fold and 130-fold. So the evil one that is spoken of here is the devil. And he is the one who has come and snatches away the word from the heart. We see four different kinds of the heart conditions. One that is sown beside the way. The other that is sown in the rocky places. The third that is sown among the thorns. And the four that is sown in the good earth. And it is so much needed that the seeds be planted in the good earth, that they may yield a lot of fruit for the kingdom of God. Verse number 24, we come to the second parable here, and it says, another parable that he said before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven has become like a man sowing good seeds in his field. In the second parable, the Lord began to say, the kingdom of heaven is or has become like. Because the kingdom of heaven began to be established when the parable begins to be fulfilled. That is, on the day of Pentecost, when the church was built. Because it was from that time, after the church had been founded, that the tares, which is the false believers, were sown among the true believers, the wheat, forming the appearance of the kingdom of the heavens. Verse number 25. But when the men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares in the midst of the wheat and went away. Who are the men who slept? These men were the slaves. They were referring to the Lord's slaves, which is mainly the apostles and the spiritual leaders of the church. It was when the Lord's slaves were sleeping and were not watching that the Lord's enemy, the devil, comes and sows false believers among the true believers there. Now, it says that they sowed tares. What are tares actually? A tare is a kind of a weed that resembles wheat very closely. Its seeds are poisonous, and it can cause sleepiness, nausea, convulsions, and even death. The sprout and the leaves of the tares look like the same as those of the wheat. So it is impossible to distinguish wheat from tares until the fruit is produced. The fruit of the wheat is golden yellow, but that of the tares is black. Verse number 25 says that, but while the men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares in the midst of the wheat and went away. Now, when we look at the Old Testament, the children of Israel who were of the kingdom of God were likened to grapes in the vineyard. Whereas in the New Testament, the kingdom people who are of the kingdom of the heavens are likened to wheat growing in the field. Now, we understand that the vineyard was fenced, limited, and included only the Jews. Whereas the field is worldwide. It is open, it's unlimited, and it includes all people from every place. Verse number 26. And when the blade sprouted and produced fruit, then the tares appeared also. And the slaves of the master of the house came and said to him, Sir, Did you not sow good seed in your field? Where did the tares come from? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. And the slaves said to him, do you want us to go and collect them? But he said, no, lest while collecting the tares, you will uproot the wheat from among them. So the slaves of the master is asking permission to root out in order to collect. But the master does not give them the permission. He says that both the tares and the wheat shall grow in the field, and the field is the world. So both the false believers and the true live in the world. To collect the tares from the field means to take away the false believers from the world. The Lord did not want his slaves to do this because while taking away the false believers from the world, they might also take the true ones away. And this has happened in the past. We see the examples of true believers being killed and tortured. Even by Christendom, we know that the Catholic Church in their crusades have killed so many innocent Christians and taken away the good seed, the good wheat that is growing. And that is what the Lord does not want here. Verse number 30. So the master says, let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, collect first the tares and bind them into bundles and burn them up, but from the wheat gather into my barn. So the fruit of the wheat in the first two parables and the fruit we understand here is pertaining to the wheat only. And the master is allowing the wheat and the tares to grow up together. But at the end of the age, he will collect the tares, the false believers, and give them the adequate punishment. But the wheat he will gather into the barn. Verse number 31. This is the third parable. It says, another parable he sets before them, saying, the kingdom of the heavens is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, and which is smaller than all the seeds, but when it has grown, is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the heavens come and roost in its branches. Now the church, now here we understand that the fruit of the wheat in the first two parables and the fruit of the mustard seed in the third parable are for food. This indicates that the kingdom people, the constituents of the kingdom of the church, should be like a crop that produces food for the satisfaction of God and man. In verse number 32 it says that the mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and become a tree, that the birds of the heaven come and roost in its branches. The church is the embodiment of the kingdom, and it should be like a herb that produces food. However, the nature and functions were changed, and so it became like a tree, a lodging place for birds. We understand that this is against the law of God's creation, that every plant must be after its own kind, and we read that in Genesis chapter 1 verses 11 and 12. But this changes happen in the first part of the 4th century, and this is what the Bible scholars have interpreted concerning this parable, the way it has been spoken. This is one interpretation that we see, that in the first part of the 14th century, when Constantine the Great mixed the church and the world, he brought thousands of false believers into Christianity, and making it Christendom or the Catholic Church, which is basically no longer the true church. So the third parable corresponds to the third of the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, the church of Pergamos. And we read that in Revelation chapter 2 verses 12 to 17. So the mustard is an annual herb, whereas the tree is a perennial plant. So the church, according to its heavenly and spiritual nature, should be like a mustard that is sojourning the earth. But when the nature changed, the church became deeply rooted and settled as a tree in the earth. And it's flourishing with the enterprises as a branch in which many evil persons and things are lodged. And this results in the formation of the outward organization or the outward appearance of the kingdom of the heavens. We see that the birds of the heaven come and they roost in the branches. The birds in the first parable, as we have seen today, is the evil one. And the birds of the heaven here again must refer to Satan's evil spirits with the evil persons and things motivated by them. And they lodge in the branch of the great tree, that is the enterprises of Christendom. Verse number 33, which is the fourth parable, it says, another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heavens is like a leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. Now in the scriptures, the leaven has signified as evil things. When we look into to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 6 and 8, 6, 7 and 8, we read like this. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you might be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So it signifies evil things here. And also it signifies evil doctrines. If you turn back to Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 6, it says, and then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. 11 says, verse 11, how is it that you do not understand that I speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So, speaking about evil doctrines and evil things, that is the leaven that is spoken up in this parable. So church, as a practical kingdom of the heavens with Christ, the unleavened fine flour and its contents must be a loaf of unleavened bread that we have seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 6 to 8. However, the Catholic Church, which was fully and officially formed in the 6th century and which was signified as a woman here, took many pagan practices, heretical doctrines and evil matters and mix them with the teaching concerning Christ, and thus leavening the whole content of Christianity. This mixture became corrupted concerning the outward appearance of the kingdom of the heavens. So the fourth parable corresponds to the fourth of the 7 churches in Revelation 2 and 3, the church of Thyatira, that we see in Revelation chapter 2 verses 18 to 29. Now it speaks about, and the woman took and hid 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. The meal is for making the meal offering. And we see that here, if we turn to Leviticus chapter 2 verse 1, it says, when anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour. And it speaks about this fine flour, which is the grain offering that has to be offered. And this signifies the meal offering, which is showing about Christ as a food for both God and man. Now the three measures mentioned here is the quantity to make a full meal. We see in Genesis chapter 18 verses 6 when Abraham rushes to make the meal for the three angels who came by. He said, Abraham hurried to the tent to Sarah and said, quickly make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes. So it signifies that these three measures is a quantity needed to make a full meal. So the hiding of the leaven in the three measures of meal signifies that the Catholic Church has been fully leavened in a hidden way all the teachings concerning Christ. And this is the actual situation of the Roman Catholic Church. And such leavening is absolutely against the scriptures, which is strongly forbidding any leaven into the meat offerings. We see that again in Revelation 2 and verses 4 and 5 and also verse number 11 like this. And you shall bring an offering of grain offering baked in the oven. It shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. You see, it is speaking about unleavened. In verse number 11 it says, no grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven. For you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by the fire. So the Lord has absolutely forbidden any leaven in the meat offering, but that is not what has happened. Verse number 35. So what was spoken by the prophet might be fulfilled. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden from the foundation of the world. The kingdom people were chosen by God before the foundations of the world. That we see in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. But the mysteries of the kingdom were hidden from the foundations of the world. Verse number 36. Then leaving the crowd, he went into the house. And his disciples came to him and saying, make the parable of the tares of the field clear to us. And he answered and said, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world, and the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. This parable discloses that not long after the kingdom was established through the building of the church, the situation of the kingdom of the heavens changed. The kingdom was established with the sons of the kingdom, the wheat. But the sons of the evil one, the tares, grew up to alter the situation. So hence a difference arises between the kingdom of heavens and its outward appearance. The sons of the kingdom, the wheat, constitute the kingdom, whereas the sons of the evil one, the tares, have formed the outward appearance of the kingdom, which is today is called the Christendom. Verse number 31. And the enemy which sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the consummation of this age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, just as the tares are collected and burnt up with fire, so will it be in that the consummation of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out his kingdom, all the stumbling blocks and those who practice lawlessness. So the kingdom of the Son of Man, which is the earthly part of the millennium, is the messianic kingdom that Jesus is talking about here. And verse number 42, and will be cast into the furnace of fire, and that is the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this is signifying as a lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20 verses 10 and 15. So those who will be the stumbling blocks and those who practice lawlessness, they will be cast out into the lake of fire where they will suffer and be tormented forever. Verse number 43. Then the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has the ear to hear, let him hear. So the sons of the kingdom are the overcomers. And the kingdom of the Father is a heavenly part of the millennium, which is a manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens as a reward which is given to the overcomers. Verse number 44, we come to the fifth parable of today's lesson. The kingdom of heavens is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and in his joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. In the previous three parables concerning the outward appearance of the kingdom, they were spoken publicly by the heavenly king in a boat to the crowd. But now the next three parables are given privately in the house to the disciples. So this indicates that the things concerned in this last three parables are more hidden. The first parable concerns the treasure hidden in the field. And the treasure hidden in the field consists of gold or precious stones, the materials of the building of the church, and the new Jerusalem, which we can see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 12 concerning the precious stones that are mentioned, which is the building of the church. And the new Jerusalem, we read that in Revelation 21 verses 18 to 20. So since the church is a practical kingdom today, and since the new Jerusalem will be the kingdom in manifestation in the coming age, the treasure hidden in the field must signify the kingdom hidden in God's created earth. So it says the kingdom of the heavens is like a treasure hidden in the field. What is a field? The field is the earth created by God for His kingdom. We read that in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 to 28. And then it says, which a man found and hid. Who is the man? Here the man is Christ, who found the kingdom of the heavens. And in his joy, he went to the cross. And he sold all that he had to buy the field, which is, he redeemed the creator, the lost earth, for the kingdom by giving a big price of his own life on the cross of Calvary. It says that he buys that field, and that is how the man that is Christ buys the kingdom which is established upon this earth. Verse number 45 is a sixth parable. It says again, the kingdom of the heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. The merchant also is Christ, who is seeking the church for his kingdom. So after finding it, Christ goes to the cross and sells all that he has, and he buys it for the kingdom. And finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, the pearl that is produced in the death waters, which is actually the world filled with death, by the living oyster, which is the living Christ, that is wounded by the little rock, which is a sinner, and secretes its life juice around the wounded rock, the believer, is a material for the building of the New Jerusalem. So since the pearl comes out of the sea, which signifies a world corrupted by Satan, it must refer to the church, which is constituted mainly of regenerated believers from the Gentile world, and that is of a great value. The world that is corrupted by Satan is found more clearly in Isaiah 57 verse 20 and Revelation 17 verse 15. So, in the sixth parable, again it speaks about the merchant, which is Christ, and finding the pearl of great value, which is the pearl is the kingdom, and that's the pearl where the kingdom of God is signified, that it is of a great price which Christ has bought through his own death on the cross of Calvary. The seventh parable starts in verse number 47. It says that again, the kingdom of the heavens is like a net cast into the sea, gathering from every spices. The net or the dragnet, the parable is corresponding with the same as in chapter 25 verses 32 to 46. Here the net signifies not the gospel of grace which is preached in the church, but the eternal gospel which will be preached to the Gentile world after the great tribulation, which is mentioned in Revelation chapter 14 verses 6 and 7. So it says that the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast into the sea. The sea signifies the Gentile world. And gathering from every species. The species signifies all the nations, all the Gentiles. Verse number 48. And when it was filled, they brought out the out into the shore. They sat down and collected the good into the vessels, but the foul they cast in them out. The good are the sheep, who are the justified believers. The foul are the goats, who are the condemned people. And verse number 49 says, and so it will be at the consummation of the age. The angels will go forth and separate the evil from the midst of the righteous, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again it speaks about the lake of fire. That is mentioned in Revelation chapter 20 verses 10 and 15. And those who reject the gospel and reject the eternal gospel will be cast into the lake of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Finally, verse number 51 and 52. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. Then he said to them, for this reason, every scribe disciple to the kingdom of the heavens is like a householder who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. So after giving the seven parables concerning the mysteries of the kingdom, the Lord likened the disciple scribe to a householder who has a treasure. The rich store of things new and old, signifying not only the new and the old knowledge of the scriptures, but also the new and the old experiences of life in the kingdom. So this concludes lesson number 21, where we have gone into the depth of the parables that Jesus spoke concerning the kingdom. And through these parables, and Jesus has made us clear about his intention, that he would like us to be a part of the kingdom that he has prepared for us. In the next lesson, we are going to start from Matthew chapter 13 verses 53, where there is the rejection towards Christ starts getting increasing, and which would lead to his death on the cross ultimately. My prayer is that each one of us become part of the kingdom that Christ has come to prepare. Jesus Christ gave his own life. He paid the ultimate price on the death of the cross. And there is no need for us to stay out of the kingdom and be thrown in the utter darkness. But what God is looking that man everywhere should repent and come back to God and be a part of the kingdom. I pray that you as a listener would be the part of the kingdom that Christ has come to prepare in this world. May God bless you with this lesson.